Boy, Massey, you stinky boy.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. Transformers! For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 420. Yeah, we know. Recorded June 3rd, 2015. It's June.
Yep.
The year that is factually correct.
The year's like half over soon. Oh, wow. Well, yeah. BotCon's in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes. And And for anyone else that didn't get the whole 420 joke, they had to explain it to me too, so don't feel bad.
Don, you're the only one.
You're the only one, Don, that didn't get that joke.
I'm sure there's someone at some point in time, in the next 50 years, that will watch this that won't get it. And now I made them not feel alone. Go me.
Okay, Don. We believe you. So, what's going on the RFC network this week, because this is still awkward and we don't have a good spot for it. On their RFC minicast, John speaks to Don about getting ready for BotCon or just conventions in general. That was really fun. I listened to that.
I hope you learned something.
Yeah, I did. And RFC Extra, meanwhile, confronts you with your own inevitable mortality.
wait, I gotta stop this for a second. Did Don talk about how much he has to bring to said convention to try and trade?
No. We were trying to educate other people. Okay. We were trying to get people ready, not forewarn them to stay away from Don.
Yes, it was more about BotCon etiquette and preparation.
The reason Don didn't say that, because if people take stuff to sell, that limits his potential customers, and Don is going to get all the money.
Make it rain, Don.
You made me like Scrooge McDuck.
I know. Hey, Don, when's your birthday again? What's the exact date?
Soon.
How soon?
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us. It's at BotCon, right?
Yeah, then will be now soon.
Okay. Because mine's soon, but it's not at BotCon.
It's June 21st. It's a Sunday. It's also every 7 years is Father's Day, which it falls again.
We'll just have to celebrate on the 20th because I don't think Kilby's going to be there on the 21st.
Yeah, I'll be leaving early. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool. Okay, so being awesome with Rob Springer. Oh, Rob sent me an email. Didn't update the show notes. Sorry, Rob.
Produce on the fly.
Produce on the fly. Oh, my God. So Rob said, this week in being awesome, duct tape, Ziploc bags, and Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Awesome. And
these episodes of being awesome seem to get more abstract as we go along.
I know.
Is Rob Springer okay?
He's good. He's good.
Has he like readapted to the night shift properly? Because I'm starting to get concerned.
He does tend to do them on very little sleep.
I think the reason that he's back to normal is because of the night shift. I mean, this is really. This is really more normal, Rob. God, his tweets and his Facebook posts have gotten way better since he's back on the night shift. Yeah. That stuff's gold. Family versus Transformers. So we talk about Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 7. Spoilers, greatest issue ever of anything.
And not nearly as delayed as we expected it to be.
True.
Yeah.
And, oh, Superhero Time is back, sort of.
Sort of.
With my favoriteest thing ever, maybe. That one episode of Star Trek.
So, yeah, for the foreseeable future, your Superhero Time feed will now deliver you Superhero Time Presents, that one episode of Star Trek, where indeed we talk about one episode of Star Trek per week.
Because there is nothing good to watch for Sentai or Rider at the current time.
And Power Rangers is on hiatus, yes.
And your fan is, really pissed off, too, at that. I mean, it's just,
yeah. It's yeah. Like, it's on, like, on, wow. on both of his accounts, too.
Yeah. So it's kind of great. I really enjoyed it. Like, I seriously enjoyed the first episode. I'm not saying that because I'm biased. It's not like I listen to everything.
That's good, but more importantly, we had a lot more fun doing it than, forcing out a Toku show, so.
Yeah, it was a heck of a lot of fun. I really enjoyed listening. I can't wait for the next week. And that one episode of Voyager.
Well, that will come in due time.
Okay, cool.
season finale before Toku comes back?
Who knows?
We'll see.
Okay, did anybody get anything cool?
Well, I got something, and it's also a useful piece of information for everybody. The last wave of Creo microchangers is showing up at Dollar Tree, the Age of Extinction Wave 2, and I managed to track down some of those, wound up with Trailbreaker, Sea Spray, and Scalar.
Ooh, Sea Spray. Nice.
Yeah. Want to get Black Arachnia, but I'll have to check other Dollar Trees. Should have gotten more the first time.
Yeah, I need to go check that.
How many are in one of those, you know, cases?
I think it's like 18 or 20 to the case.
You just bought the whole case.
Yeah, are they a dollar?
Right on the menu right now. Yeah, they're a buck each.
It's a Dollar Tree.
Well, I didn't know if that was one of those dollar stores that not everything's always
everything's
a dollar.
No, dollar,
Dollar Tree
dollar
is everything. Less. Yeah, Dollar Tree is everything to dollar or less, unless it's Dollar Tree deals, which is awful.
Now, Rob, not being a Creo person, I know at one point they dropped having the ID codes off the back of the packaging.
Yes.
Do these have the ID codes or not? They don't.
According to the wiki, they don't. I didn't actually look at the packaging and just kind of grabbed three at random. So
no, they dropped it before that wave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's why if I see them, I'll buy the whole box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at a Dollar Tree, if you've got a $20 bill in your pocket, just buy the whole thing.
Yeah, if I could find the G.I. Joe Creons, I would hop on that in a hot minute. Okay, so did you get anything else?
I got a care package from an online retailer with all of my Protective Bots.
Me too.
And Quick Slinger and Breakneck. I have to say, Defensor, I like Defensor. I can't quite put him in as G1 style as Superion because the way Streetwise and Rook don't really work as well as Feet without having some parts sticking out, like to fill the transformations. But he's solid. Other than I've got a few issues with my hotspot personally. It's got some tolerance issues. But
like what?
He's getting defensive.
Uh-oh. Yeah, XP mad.
It is Defensor. The shoulders, when they peg together in vehicle mode, they rise up and peg into that little slot. My left arm, something is off, and it will not rise up and peg in, so I've got one arm kind of doing this.
And
I tried the trick
there's always some mold flash inside somewhere.
Yeah. And then I tried the trick with the legs.
Some what?
He's garbage. Mold flash. Confirmed.
What's that?
Mold flash?
I don't know flash. What that is. Mold flash.
You don't have flash.
It's just plastic.
It's not supposed to be there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but I did try the leg trick you mentioned in your video review on tformers.com.
You mean transforming the legs correctly?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that until I saw
that trick.
Yeah, that.
It's a neat trick.
That did help a lot as far as the robot mode stability, but other than that, like I said, I just have some stuff that won't quite peg in, but Defensor is still a beautiful looking figure. I just can't get him quite as G1 as I want him, but that's neither here nor there.
Hmm. Well,
until Groove comes out.
Yeah, wait for Groove to come off. Rook is a great figure. It's just the way he transforms, you can't really have him and Streetwise as the legs as they were originally.
I do it all the time. I don't know what your problem is.
It's me. Life hates me. I don't know, but it's
I like him.
Groove does fit on better than Blackjack, but getting him on there is something of a exercise in frustration.
It looks like it at least interacts more than Blackjack does.
Well, not falling off with the slightest sneeze.
Hey, no, but I mean, like, it's more than just Groove in vehicle mode tacked to the chest.
That would be awesome, though.
Yeah, it's actually no armor.
That'd be so good. Like a hipster's apartment.
Oh, God.
Just a bike hanging on the wall. Hanging on my chest. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
I got something.
Okay. I'll let you. Yeah.
You want to guess?
No.
Come on. I think you do.
Is it big?
It is big. And
is it bigger than a Minicon?
Is it big and full of Kilby's regret?
It is. And it's also come from a land far away in like three boxes, which I appreciate.
Three boxes?
And it goes by the name of dystopia.
I assume it's like three boxes layered together, not that it came separated into three parcels.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
That would be actually unsettling.
Actually, oh God, the first one.
Utopia?
Utopia.
Yeah, Utopia. He came multi-box back, so it was the same kind of...
They took this seriously, unlike their Nemesis Prime, which they threw in like a grocery bag and shipped it across the world.
I've actually gotten stuff like that.
I'm looking at your Twitter photo of it. It's interesting that it included that it's packaged in that tray thing that toys are often packaged in now, as opposed to, I don't know, just like
styrofoam
tied down or something.
Oh, I'd love styrofoam. That'd be so awesome if it's like, you know what, over here in China, no rules.
Yeah,
it's always 1985 in China.
And if you want to check out that picture, check out John DeLuna on Twitter at that John D.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm going to open him and take really good pictures or Periscope it this weekend.
Can't wait. That's awesome.
I know you can't wait.
That really is a big clamshell.
Yeah, you're going to open him and love him and call him George.
Yes. Hmm. Very nice. Very nice.
That does look pretty great. I want one.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I got a couple things. I ended up getting all the stuff that Don talked about, plus like Viper and that stuff, but I haven't actually touched it yet. I like opened it and threw it in a box, and I'm gonna like combine Defensor together soon.
Okay, but like, you know, just the fact of that you own Viper, how do you feel about that?
Pretty darn good. Like between that and I shipped my pile of loot that I'd had sitting for months, and I ended up getting my masterpiece Ultra Magnus as well. I think I like Viper better.
Aw, that's not right.
Well, no, Viper better than Masterpiece Magnus or Combiner Wars Magnus?
Masterpiece Magnus.
I'm sorry, Brian. You've gone crazy.
Viper's pretty awesome, dude.
It's a Power Glide repaint and a slight remold. It can't be that great.
Into Wild Weasel.
That's amazing, Don.
I mean, I like Power Glide.
We are speaking
robot.
Two different languages. I don't get it. So
I like Power Glide's robot mode. It's just his jet mode is kind of a little...
He's not a jet.
It is a jet.
Is it?
Yes.
Dang it. It is a jet, actually, because he doesn't have a propeller. Right. Darn it. He's not a glider, so he's a jet. Darn it,
hooray,
Don.
Pedantry wins again.
Yes. Exactly. Hey, going back to the conversation before, yeah. Yeah. If you're going to be a pedant, have your crap together. I didn't. Way to go, Don. You've made me look like an idiot. I am an idiot. That's it. Wow, for Cybertron this week.
Don, you've done something that most weeks only I can accomplish.
Oh, Don. You don't like Viper? Or do you have it yet?
No. I mean, I've got Power Glide, and Viper looks pretty, and I know what they're doing for it. I'm just saying Masterpiece Magnus, honestly, compared to Viper, is like comparing something good like 2,000 Robots in Disguise to something bad like Beast Machines.
I almost hung up on you, Don. Almost. So,
I mean, seriously, you hung up on me earlier for whatever stupid actual factual thing I said, and Don says that, and you just let him go.
Well, this is actually the show instead of pre-show.
Which makes it funnier if you hang up on him.
Don wouldn't immediately come back like you did. So,
he'd Matt. Probably come back with all sorts of connection problems, too. So, yeah.
So Matt, what's that? What was that?
I got my fans project, Not Swoop.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, that's pretty.
Polar, whatever, yeah. And just FYI, for anybody getting this guy, switching out the blue and red bodies is not just as easy as popping off the arms and legs and head and switching them.
Oh.
You don't say.
Like, those joints are on there pretty good, and for fear of breaking anything, I just unscrewed the head and took it apart that way.
Remove your head.
So now, Diecast, are you getting one of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to do an instructional on the torso swap?
Yeah, I can.
Yes, he is.
But I think that would be a good idea.
That's his thing.
It'd be
now.
Cool.
I did a Pebble unboxing, so why not?
Can you shut off your dress on it?
No, yeah. No, I checked that. That's not true.
So he was wrong. Okay.
Yeah, he was just joking.
Well, I'm glad they did that for the fans who wanted that version. You know, because see, those of us that got the Fans Toys version of Soar, you know, they had two different versions you could purchase. Now, I got the blue version because I've got the regular G1 Swoop. But what they did, giving both chest options, was really a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I like it. I need it. I need the rest of them first. I need to buy them in order.
Yeah. His Pteranodon mode is not the strongest thing ever. It's pretty much just the robot kind of squatted down.
So it's Swoop.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous in robot mode.
It looks pretty.
Yeah. Swoop will always look like a folded up robot, no matter what the design is. You just can't get away from that because you've got nowhere for the arms and legs to go.
Swoop will always look like a folded up robot at the best of times.
Yeah.
At the worst of times, it will look like a robot with bigger wings.
And I also, you know, got all the Protectobots like everybody else, and Cyclonus and
Thunder. Oh, cool. Crackers. We got to do that Defensor podcast. Minicast.
Indeed.
I may have to set that out because my hotspot is still in use.
Probably until next week. Sorry.
It happens.
XP.
Well, work is slow. Give me a break.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move along to This Week in History. I think Don may be the only... John, maybe. Mm-hmm. Who else? Did anybody else play the Beast Wars PC game?
I played the PlayStation.
I had the PS1 port for that. Okay.
Yeah, I did that.
I actually had it on the PC, and that came out May 31st, 1998. And do the math, that was 17 years ago. Okay.
17 years of intense sadness.
Yeah. Because, Brian, I think at that point in 1998, I had not bought my Aptiva computer that had Windows 98 on it, so I was still using my PS.
I didn't have a computer that would run it at that time. Yeah. It was like a year or two later.
I think I was using my PS1 at the time.
And that was one of those things that I always saw if I went to, you know, Best Buy or whatever chain was open at that point. Mm-hmm. Everybody always had that, and it was like $7. So I...
And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, now, hey, Brian, what was the character difference between the two? Because on the variation of all those Beast War games, the early ones, every system had a character the other one didn't.
I don't remember.
Oh. No, Don, you're thinking of the Transmetals game.
The fighting game. The N64 and the PS1 versions of that, yeah, that varied. But I don't remember what the versions are. I didn't get the PS1 game until JD sent me a copy like 3 years ago. And I've honest that copy that I that he sent me, I've never actually played it.
It's not fun.
Yeah. Hey, so John, you and I have talked before about doing like a Transformers video game thing. We should do something on that game.
Like discussing.
Yeah. Or rag on.
Sure.
It. Yeah.
Rag
discuss
on
the
it.
The sadness.
I do want to talk about the Beast Wars fighting game because it's just insane that was a thing.
Which one? Beast Wars 2nd?
The Transmetals.
I like the one on Game Boy Color.
I actually enjoyed that one.
Wasn't bad.
I enjoyed the fighting game, you know, because you could be Windraiser as an alternate to.
Or you could play as Daniel Ross.
Okay.
Mouth was in that one, right? That was his first gig, I thought.
Who knows? Who was he? Pterosaur or something?
I think Pterosaur, like on the N64. I'll have to ask him, or look up the wiki.
Ask him at BotCon. He's going to BotCon.
Oh yeah. Okay, so in June 1st, 2009, Chevrolet begins taking orders for the Bumblebee Edition package for the Camaro, and then they file for bankruptcy.
Wait, huh?
You don't remember?
No,
you don't
420.
Remember? No, I'm gonna argue that's wrong.
Well, take it up with the wiki.
Because it was announced at San Diego Comic-Con, and I ordered it day after my birthday, which was in 2009. It was July 23rd is the day I ordered it. It's the day after my birthday they announced it. Yeah, it was right around July 23rd. I know that.
Okay.
So did you just like call a dealer and request it? How'd that work?
No, I actually had to go up to the dealer and sign paperwork and give them a $1,000 deposit and Yeah, it was at that point you had to order the Camaros anyway, so it's not like I could have just walked in and bought a Camaro. So it was kind of like, well, I have to order a Camaro anyway. I'll get this package.
I love that phrasing. Well, yeah. I had to get a Camaro anyway. So
yeah,
I got a Camaro. Yeah, I was getting a Camaro.
That's
anyway,
right.
So may as well go for the.
What's the car you wanted?
And yeah, I feel like I'm bawling with Dystopia, and here's Diecast saying, you know what? I was going to pick up a car today and heard about this.
It's sort of like going to the store and getting like grape jelly. It's like, now I'll splurge for the strawberry. You know, it's like.
I could say I've ridden in Diecast's Bumblebee's version of Camaro Whatnot Special Edition. It's on my bucket list. I don't know where it is on my bucket list, but it's been checked.
Oh, okay. That's a really nice car.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Very jealous. Okay, so
problem is it's a stick shift, so I could never drive it.
Oh, that's more fun to drive.
Well, that's all right. Diecast can't drive it either. I speak from experience.
Like, I taught myself how to drive a manual transmission in like 30 minutes. It's not hard.
Yeah. To be fair, we don't even like own a manual transmission car, so I really
I didn't either. I bought one.
Well, and you know, when we buy one that has a stick and that's the only thing I can drive, I'll teach myself to drive.
Yeah, it's just my brother sold his truck. I'm like, oh, I like your truck. I'll buy it. So, I don't know how to drive a manual. Oh, that's how you drive a manual. Easy.
See, I worked at car dealers when I was younger, so I learned on other people's cars.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving along, the news. So Hasbro at the Global Consumer Conference 2015. That sounds fake. Global Consumer Conference 2015. They describe there's a typo there. They plan on including a possible Bumblebee movie in their expanded universe.
Like basically what this is they're planning. It's not just going to be like sequels making up their expanded universe, but you know they're thinking like prequels, origin story stuff like that.
So. Sequels.
They are going to beat every dead horse they have.
And one of the things on the short list is maybe a Bumblebee movie.
They have to do more than sequels, though. I mean, it wouldn't be, really be an expanded universe if it was just sequels. It would just be.
So,
sequels.
How many of these movies do you guys bet will actually happen?
None.
Three.
One.
I'm with Brian.
I would say at least one.
Yeah. I will say that
they're going to rush three in simultaneous production, probably starting in 2017. So they're all going to end up coming out, even though the first one bombed.
That makes sense.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Maybe they can tape the other two together into some weird, like, anthology movie. Yeah.
They're trying to get that Marvel money. I mean, you really can't blame them with the popularity.
I don't blame them. I think they needed to develop stuff outside. They needed to develop more stuff. To actually like work into this before they went this way, because the Marvel thing works because they have a lot of different stories they can tell side by side and then have them all come together as one thing. That's not going to work the same way with just using Transformers.
So like, all I can think of in my head is G.I. Joe and Transformers. I mean, those are
that
the two properties that they could combine into one movie.
So it's not like there are a ton of. Comic fans in the world who like actually know the comics. I mean, there are some, but it's not like the general public. But the thing about the Marvel movies, what makes those work? You have the comic fans who enjoy them, which usually comic fans kind of hate the movies because they usually suck. And then you have like everybody else who enjoys it too. But I don't really know that they're going to get anything like that with the Transformers Expanded Universe because I'm pretty sure it's probably not going to be that great.
Transformers works the way it does because there's like a two or sometimes 3 year gap between the movies for people to forget how bad the last one was.
Yeah, they're going to have to experiment with telling actual stories here or something if they actually want to make this work. And I doubt it.
Now,
but they are bringing in a bunch of writers to work on this. So, like, there is the possibility that at least one of these things they produce out of this initiative will have something resembling a story.
I'm hoping
it is possible.
I'm hoping that my earlier idea will still come true in a way, and that we'll see it, something along the lines of a not Beast Wars proper, but since they have Dinobots. And Dinobots were on Earth at one point, apparently. there could be a prehistoric setting involved, maybe describing what happened and how they wound up on lockdown ship.
So if these movies print money and they can do whatever they want to, that's possible. They're going to play it
now,
safe.
What I can't wait to have happen is they do, like, the Dinobot movie, their origin story, and somehow the Dinobots still don't show up until the last 22 minutes of a 4-hour movie.
Well, I'm saying they've got the character models for the Dinobots that were not that used. They've got to find some kind of return on investment on that work that was done.
No, they don't.
Well,
you know how much movie that money – or how much money that movie made, Don?
Yeah, how –
Well, I'm just looking at.
You know how much movie that money made?
Not very much. So, like, with a TV show or something with a limited budget, I 100% agree with you, Don. But in the scale of the movies, nah, they don't have to make any of that back.
Well, it just seems it was a lot of work for the screen time, and they've got those assets there that they can make.
Think of all the assets that don't get used at all, or all the people that, you know, get recorded that don't get used at all.
Okay, Don, look at it this way. Age of Extinction made back all the money that was spent to produce it, including, you know, the cost of the actors and the CGI and the locations and everything, and made $200 million in profit above that. They got the return on the investment. Right. They don't need to reuse those models again.
So the logic works in certain things, but it really doesn't carry over.
The logic works in small scale. The logic works in toys because, like, you know, that's where this is born of in Transformers thinking. You know, you made this thing, use it five more times so we get all of our money back out of it. But for, like, a major movie that does over $1 billion around the world, they're cool. They can handle it.
We'll look at it from this standpoint. It's something they've already bought and paid for. It's free. They can use it for these expanded universe and not have any more money invested.
You're right. If there is a situation where they can use the Dinobots again and it makes sense to do so, yeah, they have those models. They don't really need to do anything more to use them. Of course, they change the models for every movie anyway just because they can.
Yeah, I don't have any context. I mean, it's entirely possible they could use it again. It's entirely possible that they upgrade their software and a lot of those assets end up having to be reworked. I don't know.
And besides, half those Dinobots will disappear and be replaced by different Dinobots that we haven't seen before anyway with no explanation. So.
Yes. And, you know, and then there's the Skids and Mudflap Dinobots that will just appear out of nowhere. Yeah. And
oh.
Now, what we need is, like, movie version of Magmatron, where it's three of them at all.
Okay, so more Transformers Universe movie news stuff.
It's just kind of an addendum to the previous.
Two ladies.
That wasn't creepy at all.
I know, two female writers.
Hello, ladies. My name is Dawn. Perhaps you've heard of me.
Wait, the one has the best last name ever. Her last name is Beer.
Lindsay Beer, and the other name is Christina Hodson. Lindsay has worked on Short Circuit, so thumbs up, Lindsay.
My favorite thing I saw about this on Twitter is that Travis Beecham, the writer of the first Pacific Rim, said, finally, you know, women are equal to men. They can work on Transformers movies. And a woman writer said, do we have to?
Nice. Awesome.
So it's good that you know, there are more writers now. So,
like I said, the more writers they bring into this project, the more chance there is that at least one thing that comes out of it will have, like, a meaningful story.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I mean, like, Don's video went away. Don,
yes,
come back.
You went away.
Like, I'm not trying to downplay the story, but. New writers I've never heard of. It's great that they're women, you know, that's great, but unless it's somebody I know, I'm not super excited.
Short circuit.
maybe if it was
the
batteries.
The first one, right?
Yeah, maybe if it was battery. You know, I love Short Circuit 2. I love it. I love that movie. It's so terrible. But maybe, like, batteries not included or some other, like, you know, mid 80s crappy kind of movie. So.
What about the Goonies writers? Can we get them on this?
Are they alive?
I don't know.
They might accidentally make a good movie, though. So
if they could just take the Goonies and like overlay it with Transformers, I would love that. Would love that so much. Okay, so we got actually, if I'm not mistaken, Rob Springer was pretty excited about this. Robots in the Skies, Clash of the Transformers, Legion Class 2-pack, sighted in Australia. You can get Optimus Prime versus Megatronus.
When does Australia get stuff first? We have to ask Paul this, because I don't ever remember Australia getting anything first.
But it probably costs three times as much.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a trade-off fate gives them. Because sometimes they will get stuff first, like they did with first edition Prime, or was it regular Prime? Anyway,
I don't remember.
But sometimes they will get stuff first, but that's the downside is you're looking at $300 for a masterpiece Sunstorm or something
like
weird.
They'll get the stuff first, and then that's all they'll ever get from that line.
Look, mm-hmm. I'd like to point out in this photo right underneath that is Transformers Prime Beast Hunters figures. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Of course, that is an Australian Toys R Us, so you can probably find that same situation in an American Toys R Us, too.
Yeah.
You know, what's sad is that a couple years ago, a friend of mine lives in Australia. His Toys R Us still had several Masterpiece Grimlocks, but the cost of shipping them to anybody who wanted one made them more expensive, plus the Australian dollar, than they could go on eBay and buy it from a scalper.
Oh, man.
That's how sad it was.
Has that always been the case? Because I vaguely remember getting some pretty awesome deals from, like, Australia back in the late 90s.
Maybe if the currency exchange was different. But right now, the currency exchange sucks.
Okay.
The best way to take advantage of Australia getting something early that you're interested in is if you can arrange like a straight up trade deal with someone there for something they can't get locally, because that basically works out for both sides.
Yeah. Okay, so more Robots in the Sky stuff. Images of New Warrior and Legion class figures for Wave 4, which includes that gold armor Grimlock. I saw a lot of people sharing this around, but I don't know. I like Grimlock as he is. I don't really need a G1 sort of flair to it.
I love it. I just think it looks good.
Yeah,
it's an interesting alternative.
Yeah,
I don't need
I would
it.
Take that over the Bumblebee.
That Bumblebee is about as uninspiring as
something very uninspiring.
Yeah. Let's invert his colors. Again.
Mm-hmm. Again.
If you're a Steelers fan, that's like a really good... It almost looks like the NFL robot that shows up on Fox.
Well, now that you say that,
colors.
I can see the Pittsburgh Steelers asking Hasbro to replace the Autobot logo with the Steelers logo, and he'd be like an exclusive at the ballpark or something.
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe. I think there's probably higher margin stuff they can sell, like hot dogs.
Oh, wait, hang on, I got the response.
No, Don.
No, Don, we're not. We love you.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't. You just want
Don,
me over.
Don, would I have spent like a whole 15 seconds writing this last week?
You just want me on for the Massey attacks, that's all.
But we
the Massey attacks
had
are a plus.
Lately.
I mean, they are a benefit. I mean, I'm not going to lie, but
Bloodsport gets ratings. What can we say?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. What the heck else do we have worth talking about? More shots of that RC recolor. Don, I know you said you'll buy it, but I don't exactly remember. Do you actually like it?
Well, I like that it's a different color. It's just a night ops RC. But it's probably going to be very difficult to get. So I'm really not like, oh, I have to get this figure. If I see it and it's reasonable, I would like to have it, because it's just nice seeing the color and version on it, and it'd be like her in a stealth suit or something, like she's like solid RC or something.
But what's interesting is they've remolded the hands. They are now 5mm compatible.
Yes.
Now that's awesome then.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm hoping, okay, so original RCs had the closed slot hands. Then that was changed to the open slot type hands. Now it has these 5mm hands. I'm hoping that's another permanent change to the mold, and the rerun of Legends RC coming in August has the 5mm hands.
That'd be awesome. Hey,
and I've put a pre-order in for that rerun just in case it does.
Me too. Hey, interesting note, Paul mentioned in the chat that you can still get Revenge of the Fallen Devastator in Australia.
See? It's probably $200.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's weird, because there for a while, Revenge of the Fallen Devastator was bringing a premium on the secondary market. And I don't know
why. Nobody bought it.
Yeah. Except for that, does it eat? What was it, that video that somebody kept doing? Can he eat it?
Well, yeah, can Debbie eat it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was funny. Okay, so what else? Unite Warriors, versions of Slingshot, Dragstrip, Wild Rider, and Groove shown off.
Look at that Dragstrip.
That's really yellow.
That is so boring. That is so boring.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh.
The Wild Riders cool, pretty blah too, actually. They took a lot of the red out of that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
Okay, so the reason they did that to Wild Rider is actually really simple. Like, if you look at the Hasbro one, it's got the unpaintable red plastic cut through the doors. Hmm. So they changed that sprue to match the rest of the door color.
Oh, well, okay.
So it's a lot more boring, but the plastic colors are now consistent.
Yeah. And
we still can't get a colored picture of Groove.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It may be the fanboy in me, but Groove looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Yeah. I really want to see it in color.
It's not going to look quite as sharp when it's not a gray prototype, because that's always how it goes.
Yeah.
But,
a lot. Yeah, you'll lose a lot of the detail.
But it's still going to look good.
Why did they turn Dragstrip into a banana? Literally, he's a walking banana.
Banana car.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably be, like, in person, it'll be interesting to see how it looks. Not that I'm buying it, so I won't know unless I see it like it.
No, I have no interest in the Unite Warriors.
Well, here's another working tie-in that I'm going to give out for free. Chiquita Banana can have him as exclusive. Just put a Chiquito sticker on him.
Oh, Don.
See, I'm giving all these corporations.
Don did again.
You're cutting out, Don.
I'm sorry.
Yes, he donned it again.
I'm sorry. I slipped up on that one.
And to the next news article.
So, Diecast, you tell us about this one. You're excited.
Yes. This is the New Generations Combiner Wars Legends retailer listings for 2016, and one of them, and I hope this is the right article because I didn't read through the whole thing, is a wheelie.
Nice.
And we also have a, what was it, Ravage and
Rumble.
Yes. So, which is red, I believe.
Okay, so like the thumbnail I put on there was just, you know, old box art for the Masterpiece, that was stand-in stuff for the Masterpiece cassettes. We don't have any idea what color they're going to consider Rumble being.
I wonder if they're going to switch it up on us. Like, we've done a couple red releases now, so let's change them back to blue.
Well, do you think the wheelie could just be a reissue of the earlier Legends figure?
No, because it's the wrong scale.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
I'm expecting it'll be a new mold.
Or repaint Blackjack.
Well, don't okay, say so that. Like.
I would be fine with a repaint of Blackjack.
No, I want a new mold. I want them to do what they did with Cosmos, because Cosmos came out amazing. So if they can do that with Wheelie, I'll be really happy.
He's okay. He's good.
And the thing is, like, The other pieces in this set are Rumble, which is probably going to be a retool of Rewind, which is solicited for the wave before this, and Ravage, which is just going to be a straight up recolor, probably at Stripes. So
what do you think the chances
are? There has to be a new mold in there somewhere.
So what do you think the chances are of these combining, kind of like Slam Dance and all that?
Zero. Probably like that would be interesting if they did that. You know, make little combining legend cassettes for Combiner Wars, but I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not likely. Yeah. But you know, being Combiner Wars, it would be neat.
It would be neat. That's a really good idea. I'm interested. What, Don?
No, I'm sorry. I wonder if there'll be like weapon add-ons for the various combiners, like a shield or a sword or.
That's what I was wondering. Like, you know, which of these is going to be some combiner's accessory?
I want them to be cassettes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I think they'll be considered as the accessories for the inevitable Soundwave and Blaster figures.
Yeah. Which means that, you know, if one of these is going to be a combiner's buddy, it's going to be Wheelie, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, God. On Optimus Maximus or whatever.
A wheelie gun.
That's so weird. Okay.
Or a wheelie chess piece.
But yeah, I'm like more and more thinking, if not BotCon, SDCC, we're going to hear, you know, here comes leader class Soundwave for January, and it's going to come with Laserbeak, because of all the stuff so far, that is like the most conspicuous thing to not have in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and move ahead because I have some thoughts on this. Like, I mentioned all the things I bought or I got recently at the beginning of the show. I completely forgot about Leader Class Thundercracker because he is garbage. And we may be getting a Skywarp version of that.
He certainly is a blue Skyfire.
It is terrible.
I thought you were really, like, high on that figure.
I was until I opened it. I was excited about it. I thought it looked great until I actually held it in my hands and it made me weep.
Because it looks better than this Starscream that we're going to get.
Yes, it does. And we may be getting a Skywarp version of it, which makes me sad because Skywarp is my, of the three Seekers, he's my favorite.
Having dealt with Thundercracker, I really hope that they draw the line at just the three Seekers.
Yeah. Probably.
I want a new crack at the a deluxe Seeker. Like, that's what I would want.
Voyager.
Just off the fall, Voyager. Voyager one again.
But would it be just a kicker if this is the mold they picked to make Coneheads out of?
Oh, God. I hope not. Don, I hope not.
No, I think...
It could be.
Okay, so the design team right now has said, you know, they know fans want sets. And they're going to try to do that as much as possible. So I think, you know, they're finishing out the set of the three core Seekers. And then probably after that, I don't think they were going to get, at least not at, like, regular retail, I don't think we're going to get more of this. Someone could solicit for an exclusive, and, you know, there'd be an Acid Storm or a Sunstorm. But now,
Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, you said a Sunstorm and what, Don?
No, a Sunstorm, I've got Leader Jetfire. I'm happy with him. I'm happy with Kronos.
Me too.
But
Kronos, but
a Sunstorm in that might be a nice one off because he has no click unless you put him with the Rainmakers. And I don't think we'll see three Rainmakers unless they do it at BotCon at some point down the road.
I hope not.
No.
So
Acid Storm's not even a rain or not Acid Storm.
Sunstorm's not even a Rainmaker.
Well, Sunstorm is from the first episode, not the Rainmaker episode.
Well, I know. It's just,
but
I'm just saying.
He doesn't fit anywhere.
Yeah, he's right about that.
I mean,
yeah, he doesn't. So, as a one off figure, as another reuse of that mold, I wouldn't mind that. But I don't want any more of that mold unless it's something like that.
I don't want any more of that mold at all.
I don't think we would get any more leader scale Seekers unless it's like a store exclusive somewhere. They're not going to be taking up regular distribution slots.
Yeah.
Now, a friend of mine asked me this, and I'm going to get your opinion because I think this is interesting. Do you think they could, if they retool this Jetfire mold or the Cyclonus mold, do you think we could get a good G-axis out of it?
No.
A friend of mine asked me, and I didn't know I wasn't sure if either one would work for G-axis.
I don't even know that you'd really get a good G-axis toy anyway, honestly. Because it doesn't really, it's kind of, he's kind of a funny shape. and everything. I don't know that that would make a good toy.
You would need something purpose designed for it, not a retool off of an existing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving along, Devastator is big, but he is not as big as Metroplex.
Which probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the first time, scale actually works.
Not really, because Metroplex should be way bigger in my mind than Devastator.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the thing is, I want it. I'm super excited about having it. I think I mentioned it before. It's just that now he's out of scale with all the other combiners, and that just makes me sad. Like, he's going to bully them.
Yeah.
I don't want him bullying Metasaur. I want them being like peers, not like big brother, little brother.
No, what will happen, Brian, is when Devastator comes out at retail, he'll have some platform shoes included so you can add them to the rest of your Combiner Wars figures.
I was going to say when he comes out at Dollar General, he'll be scaled down to the size of the other Combiner Wars. And he'll be micro-change or whatever that line is called.
That'll be the first KO where they scale it down instead of up.
I found some scaled up KOs this past week, and I don't remember what it actually was. It was that Legends class Beachcomber scaled up, and it was terrible.
That sounds terrible. Looking at this pic, though, that's part of the link that we're seeing with a group shot of the Constructicons compared to Smokescreen. They look great as a group shot. I know people.
Oh, they do. Those scale two masterpieces really nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just they look good. It's the right colors. Yeah, Long Haul's a little big, but he has to be with what he's pulling duty is. Mm-hmm. So I mean, but anyone that was giving this figure a naysay, this is a pretty overall good looking design. Again, it'd be getting it in hand to see how the quality is and everything, but it looks good.
Oh, I'm buying the heck out of it. I'm looking forward to it. But
Mixmaster has a serious case of hemorrhoids. Just throwing that out there.
I wish the drum, you could do something with the drum, because it's just kind of like Platypus tail sticking there.
It stopped bothering me. No longer bothers me. Okay, let's see here. What else do we have?
Okay, so think about it this way, too. Like, if a third party steps up and decides to do like major overhauls on this Devastator, the first thing is going to be a new Mixmaster figure to make it look like 1985.
Yeah.
Or at least a little piece that you can on to make the foot bigger.
Right, well, with the drum standing down, you know, as the tripod leg, like, I think it's going to motivate someone ambitious to just like wholesale redo it.
And just make a new Mixmaster to fit in.
I did notice there's a third party that it's already soliciting new arms for it.
I don't get that. So
now,
weird.
New arms?
Yeah.
From here down. Yeah. From like the, you know.
It's weird.
Interesting.
Now, one thing I hadn't thought about this until y'all mentioned it. Do the arms go, are they built into the figure or are they add-on pieces?
I think they're weapons.
The forearm come off and become like big missile racks that the figures
kind of like the original combiner.
But there's pieces on Scavenger and Bone Crusher that flip out to integrate them in.
Okay.
Right. Interesting. Hey, guess what time it is? It's BotCon time. So the BotCon 2015.
Wait. If it's BotCon time, I need a 3-hour advance notice so I can get on the shuttle to get to BotCon. So
fortunately they have posted the schedule that's now online. And I have to say today an email from FunPub went out and it said let me find it. It said something like Frank Welker non-attending package update, and I misread it. And Frank Welker not attending.
I did the same thing, Brian. I did the same thing.
I'm like, "Oh no."
I mean, that's really the only other thing that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought was interesting, and I don't know if anyone else saw it this way, was they were opening up the Frank Welker package to non-gold ticket or Primus holders. So I'm wondering how many people got the gold ticket or got the Primus thing just so they could get the Frank Welker thing.
So they always made clear you did not have to buy golden ticket to get the Frank Welker VIP. But yeah, there may be people who bought Primus packages to get the VIP access who otherwise wouldn't have and might not be super happy right now.
Yeah.
Also, that apparently, I guess they've moved more packages to the non-attending availability.
Well, they do that every year based on just how the trends are going, because there may be a lot of people that are every year they look at trying to move more from Primus to the non-attending. It's usually closer to the. Well, we are at the end of the cycle.
Yeah, we are.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at the end of the cycle that just began.
Is that something that might indicate fewer people are attending than they thought would?
That's what I was led to believe by this.
I think partly they're just kind of scrambling, because normally, yeah, this would be like a 2-month process to have your attending registrations take up X number of the exclusive sets, and then you move what's left over to non-attending. You know, when they start, they portion out some for non-attending right away, and then as they figure out, okay, we're going to have this many left over because this many people pre-registered versus this many sets, then they move some more into non-attending so more non-attending people can get sets.
Yeah.
But we're working with a really compressed time scale right now. Yeah. So it's happening a lot faster than what we're used to seeing, but setting aside the short schedule, it's the same actions that would happen anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to let you talk about the last two items in official news.
Oh, cripes. okay, so over the weekend, actually, I think the first update was on Thursday or Friday. They posted information about the shuttle, the transit between the airport and the venue out in St. Charles, which is not Chicago. Let's just be clear on that. So now their first suggestion was a train route. So from O'Hare or Midway, which are the two airports you're going to be flying into if you're flying into Chicago, you can take one of two L trains into downtown Chicago, where you get off at a fixed street. The directions are all on the BotCon website if you need the specifics of it. But you get off a little ways away from what's called the Ogilvy Transportation Center, and you have to walk, you know, with your luggage and whatever. You got to walk through downtown Chicago to the Ogilvy Transportation Center, where you will pick up another train which goes out to a place called Geneva, Illinois, which is about a mile from St. Charles. Now, the fare for the L train is, I think, $2.75, and to get on the train going out to – or $2.25. To get on the train to go to Geneva is another $7.50. So, you know, you're looking about $10 to do this, and the whole process takes about 2 hours. And once you get to Geneva, at that point, you can call the Pheasant Run Resort, and they will send the shuttle for you as long as you're there before 10 p.m.
If the shuttle's available. It's a
two-part. Shuttle is subject to availability.
Yeah.
I prepared an infographic just to illustrate the route here. Now, if Kilby can put this up on screen, the pink line running across the middle of this is the route from Ogilvy to Geneva, and that is a great many miles. Like, that's, it's not a short route. I was talking to someone last night about this, and they were thinking they didn't quite grasp the scale of this. They thought it was like, you know, 20-30 blocks, like, you know, condensed city scale. No, this is going like 30-40 miles.
Yeah, I thought the interesting thing about it was we have to, with our luggage, get on a train, get off, walk to a transportation center, mm-hmm. and the transportation center at O'Hare, I mean, it's definitely straight
it's about like a third of the way. Like, the distance between O'Hare and Pheasant Run, about a third of that you're going the opposite direction to go to Ogilvy, to get on the train to go to Pheasant Run.
To go west.
So I'd like to share my thoughts on this really quick.
Oh, please do.
That doesn't come
That's
out.
That's my thoughts on that right there. Yeah, for the people on the recording, yeah, you're missing it.
Yeah, looking at the map, it just seems to me that from O'Hare to Midway, nothing runs west unless it's a private car that you rent or Avis or whatever.
Well, a shuttle bus would go that way. And when BotCon said they were working on transportation, to me, it wasn't well, we'll tell you how to take the train and a bus, and we'll try and get a shuttle to pick you up a mile away.
It's actually two trains, no bus in the route they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, Chris,
I mean, we'll the shuttle.
We'll get you to the shuttle that'll take you that last mile.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Literally, the last mile you go on the shuttle, the hotel shuttle. Literally, now, just last mile.
Now, Chris.
At which point, why not just walk that mile, honestly?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you walk through downtown Chicago, this is going to be a lot better than that.
You walk through downtown Chicago with all your luggage. What's one more
thing,
mile?
The thing is, the Chicago suburbs, it's nice flat ground. And if it's a nice day, it's really actually pleasant to walk around out there.
Matt and I are going to have to be back at the airport Monday at like 8 a.m. So that means we're going to have to leave at like 6 a.m. to – and probably the shuttle isn't going to be running that early. So we're going to have to walk a mile to get to the train station to go and then get off at the transportation center, walk again to get to
the train. Actually, you'll probably have to go earlier than 6 a.m. because you're going to need to allow time because just because you're there at time X doesn't mean there's going to be a train ready to take you, you know, on either leg. Now, Don, you had a question?
Yeah. Whenever I've flown into O'Hare, the hellish, godforsaken landscape that it is.
O'Hare's not that bad. It's just big.
I know. I'm sorry. You've heard the stories about me running through the airport to catch a plane.
With a Grand Max. I know, Don. Yeah, we've all heard
that
stories.
That's the hotel. I mean, that's the airport. Is there not a Blue Van Super Shuttle that goes to Phoenix? See, since I'm driving, I've not checked into that this year. If I was flying, I would have already checked
in. From O'Hare? Probably not.
No, because, like, okay, so, like, let me, okay, so, in Chicago, you know, there's Chicago, the city itself. There's the suburbs around Chicago. Now, Pheasant Run is technically a Chicago suburb, but it's basically out at the far edge of what anyone will tell you is a Chicago suburb.
Yeah.
So, Don, I would think of it this way. So, from the Greensboro International Airport, is there a shuttle that runs to your house? And the answer is no.
Wow.
Because like what you have to understand is that driving in this area, like to go 10 miles will take you 30, 40 minutes. It's not like a quick trip anywhere of any distance. And to go from O'Hare or Midway, anywhere that close to downtown Chicago, out to a far suburb, that's going to take over an hour driving in good traffic. The train takes that long because it's got stops along the way that it's making too.
This is a disaster.
So this is really just a major cluster.
Well, and okay, so like
unless you rent a car,
right? Part two of this on Saturday or Sunday, I forget which now, because I mean a lot of stuff's been going on with this ever since they put up an update, and on Twitter they said, you know, we've added more shuttle information. Well, when you go, it's actually they've added a list of limousine services where you can hire a limo to drive you from the airport.
But wouldn't it be awesome?
now for the people who are interested in like exploiting this option and want to like do a group ride, there is one service where it's a sedan limo. It can carry three people, and if you do that, the cost per person is about $25 each way. That's pretty much the cheapest you will get a private ride from either airport out to Pheasant Run.
This is not a joke when I say this, okay? Not a joke. So I honest to God mean this. I've been to BotCon before. We're parking. Parking's free, remember. Where parking would just about cost that. So it sucks, but we have been sort of bit in the butt before with expensive parking and such.
And the other thing, too, is like, you know, if you're facing a situation where, like, for most people, I don't think it's going to be practical to take the public trains like they're suggesting because, you know, luggage, unfamiliarity with the system, because, you know, you got to make transfers. And if you're not used to doing that, it's tricky and you might want to avoid that. If you're looking at the cost of renting or not, if you're looking at the cost of hiring a limo of some sort, you might think about just renting a car for the weekend. You'll probably pay more doing that, but you'll also have the freedom to like go around the area if you want to and, you know, not have to rely on someone in your group who maybe drove up and, you know, will ferry you around a little bit. You know, if you can budget that in, that's probably the best way to go with this at this point.
But isn't it awesome to have to fit that into your budget about 2 weeks away from the con?
Yes. And you know what? If it wasn't a 2 hour, like if it was a direct train, or you know, like where you didn't have to get off at one train and walk however many blocks to a transportation hub to pick up the next one. If you arrive at one station, then walk to the next train from there and go, and it didn't take 2 hours, I would even say, you know, the public transportation option, maybe not that bad of a thing.
And it worries me for people that are like have late flights.
Yeah, yeah.
Say you're getting in at like 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, you're basically SOL almost.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're boned. You're boned.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Honestly, at this point, if I had not, you know, prepaid for my non-refundable plane tickets 6 months in advance, I would not go.
Yeah. And like I was having this conversation with someone on Twitter just yesterday. Like, if this was a known fact back in February, everybody could have planned for this. They could have made arrangements with people they know to, you know, arrive at the same time, split a taxi or one of these limo services, you know, talk to people who are familiar with the area to get the idea of how to work the train system, you know, plan the budget to rent a car or hire the limo. You know, you do that stuff when you have a few months left to go. This was dropped literally 3 weeks before the show began, because up to that point, BotCon had been saying for weeks and months, you know, we're working on getting shuttle service for this to get you from point A to point B. And like Diecast pointed out when we started talking about this, the very real implication of that is we are going to provide transportation for you, you know. Yeah.
So I have to say this. What they need is a copy of Project Management for Dummies, which you can get at tfradio.net/Amazon. It's on the Kindle version is only like $14. It's $15. You can get it in paperback. Of course, they'll want the paperback, and that's going to be $20.33. Totally worth it.
And big shout out to Ender, because he actually offered to pick us up at the airport. Yeah. We get there on Wednesday.
Yeah, so. And I bet Ender uses
Love you, Ender.
I bet Ender uses tfradio.net/Amazon as well. So Don, guys, so whenever you use that, it doesn't cost you any more than it costs you to use Amazon, but it sends some money back our way so that we can use it to improve the show and keep the lights on. Don, let the people listen to what their purchases.
Let the people listen to the voice of doom.
Yes.
Plug in, Don.
Plug in.
It's plugged in.
Okay, listen to that, people. Do you hear that? That's the sound of, you know, desperation. That's the sound of need. We really need you to use tfradio.net/Amazon so that we can fix Don's computer.
But I'm sure with all Don's third-party purchases, he can afford to buy a battery.
Yes, a portion of all of your tfradio.net a portion of all of your tfradio.net/Amazon purchases will go to buying Don a new battery for his laptop so it can last more than 65 minutes at a time without power.
Yes, yes. We would appreciate it.
So you never have to hear that inane buzzing again unless Don's talking. Love you, Don.
We love Don. But yeah, so just go to tfradio.net. There's a little Amazon logo there. Nice. A little Amazon logo there. You just click it. It'll take you to Amazon. Will not cost you a cent more, and it's wonderful. Or what you could do, and I just honestly thought about this before the show. Don and I are both driving. So what we're actually going to do is we're actually going to listen to audiobooks along the way. And doing that, you actually could sign up for Audible through audibletrial.com. /RFC. That would help us out too.
Oh, I do have that image. I do have that icon.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, that would be great.
Don's doing it right now.
Don, you are
the man.
Why
aren't you?
Don is the man. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to third party news. That's not it. Here we go. Clicking around. I opened up too many windows. Wait, that's Amazon. Oh, I need to buy something. tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay, so third-party news. First item, new third-party Voodoo Robots shows off Ratchet Ironhide design in van mode.
That sure looks like G1 cartoon Ironhide.
This makes me sad because I just want an official one so bad. And when I see a third party, I'm like, oh, I just want the official. That's really what I want.
So but I'm pretty sure there's an official on the short list. Yeah. So
yeah,
maybe next year.
So Ironhide's one of those weird characters that I would definitely buy an official version of if there was one available that I wanted. But I could never see myself buying a third party version because of apathy, honestly. And he doesn't mean that much to me to buy it. Like, I love Mirage, and he's like right on the edge of something that I would be willing to pick up third party, but I haven't quite yet. So I don't know. But yeah. What about you guys?
I love me some Ironhide, but don't.
Okay, like, so what a third party needs to do is to make a G1 toy accurate Ironhide at the masterpiece scale. Then I'll be interested.
Yeah. Well, I was able to pick up. I was able to pick up the iGear second release versions of their Ratchet and Ironhide, the ones that was a little bit cheaper that came with the lower amount of weapons. Because Big Bad ran the Ratchet version for $69 on a pre-order. I thought, why not? And I like them both. I'm hoping the official ones do bring something unique and different to the table as far as transformations, or there's something that makes them wholly different than the two that I've got. But as stand-ins for Masterpiece Ironhide and Ratchet, the two that I have in my gear, to me are really good.
They look nice. But
they're not Masterpiece, though. I wouldn't call them.
This Voodoo Robots company is brand new. We know nothing about anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They could be linked to KFC for all we know. Just throwing it out there.
Hey. Well, no. Okay, so like, I think these would be more like the Popeyes.
Now you know, in 10 or 15 years, when this third-party thing is still going on, if it is, I can imagine Diecast dressing up like the Question from Justice League Unlimited. And his sole focus is to bring down KFC.
I can see that. Actually, I don't want to mention this. Earlier in the show, I mentioned...
So, Diecast, we have a new Halloween costume idea for you.
So I mentioned earlier in the show that I saw that scaled up Legends Beachcomber. I clicked on this link, and I've never actually seen this before, but this X-Transbots Arcos test shot for their not Beachcomber figure, and they are eerily similar.
I forgot this
Speaking
was even
Speaking of
happening.
Companies yeah. that are linked to KFC,
yeah.
they have X-Transbots.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. But like that,
I mean this can't be like a polygon. This, you know, it has to be a simpler design, right?
Yeah, sure. I would hope so. I mean, the problem is when they get to smaller figures, they tend to use thinner plastic. So hopefully,
well,
that's
you know,
not the case
you know, you
it.
Just you know, you just scale everything down.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Yeah.
You just scale it all down. It works. That's how making a smaller toy works.
Now, back when Iger was doing the mini bots,
mini warriors.
Yeah, the mini warriors. Their Beachcomber was not a bad looking figure. It's just the blue that they chose for that figure.
It's okay.
Was a terrible blue. Well, for me, it was.
It's the same thing they did with their Swerve, where it didn't even have like really red plastic. It was like
they muted the color so much that it doesn't look like the character. It's
the last thing I was saying last week. Blue on a blue seems to be one of the hardest colors to match right on so many characters like Blur and the other characters. That's why I didn't get that Beachcomber. I love the look of the Beachcomber. But that blue was just so wrong. And they've got to get the blue right on this, or it's going to be another – I mean, we've got Masterpiece Bumblebee. Who's to say Beachcomber is not the next mini-bot?
Well, maybe it's the next one.
G2 Bumblebee.
Like, you know, once you have the whole – once you have Bumblebee's engineering worked out, you've got a lot of the mini-cars kind of in the bag. Because, like, the body shells may be different, but the engineering is not that much removed from one to the next.
Yeah.
You know, Beachcomber would take, like, new transformation engineering.
He's
but
very different.
At that point, I mean, you know, you've got one base design you can use for a bunch of other stuff. There's no reason that you can't make another base design to apply to a couple other things.
Yeah. And, of course, and you could do G2 Beachcomber from that same mold.
So that's a beautiful toy.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually have one here that's just not quite in convenient reach, but...
I think I have all the G2 mini bots at this point. Yeah,
there he is.
It's weird. For chrome green, that's a very beautiful shade of green.
It sure is.
They already had a render of that X-Trans bots did on, is it 359 or 539 Customs webpage, which I believe is the person behind the designs of the X-Trans bots.
I think it was on the designer's DeviantArt account, actually.
Yes. Yep.
You know why this green on G2 Beachcomber looks so appealing? It's the same shade as the Andes Mince Wrapper.
You're right. Ooh. They are delicious.
Tasty.
So that's the positive association that you have with it.
Yep. Hey, so next item, Make Toys there.
Make toys.
What?
Make Toys.
I don't care.
No.
Make Toys, Make Toys. Make Toys sounds cooler.
Yeah.
I'm corrected when I say either one, so, like, you know.
I know, okay. I'm keeping up the trend.
Okay, so their remaster series, MTRM07, Visualizer, their masterpiece scale, not reflector.
And now that we have pictures of the back of them, we can see how they work.
Yes.
This is the third set of reflector, third-party reflector.
But this is the first I want. The first I want, yes, that's exactly where I was going. I'm buying this. I am so buying
I want to see the transformation demonstrated first. But, you know, if these transform interestingly and they make a good-looking camera mode, I probably have an interest.
I'll probably go Fans Toys. Just, they haven't done me wrong yet. So, I'm going to... Not that Make Toys has, so... I mean, their Computron was a little mess, and I didn't really feel like that was worth jumping on. But, yeah, I think it is going to come down to camera mode, how they all combine, what company is the best. And, well, the third company's the KFC one, so we'll just... There's two to choose from, really.
Well, and don't forget there is, you know, the Perfect Effect Scouting Force, which was reflector robots. And there was...
The Photon. That was the DSLR.
Photon, yes.
TFC.
Which, that was... Yeah, that was the TFC.
Yeah. But that was in the
Photon
style
always
of
looked interesting
noob.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Photon looked interesting, too, because it was, like, a reimagining. And, like, for a classics thing, I kind of want that more than
and camera mode. The DSLR looked pretty damn good.
It did. I remember that.
Yeah,
but hey, for you know, something that looks like the G1 cartoon, but also still actually turns into a camera, I'm really interested in where this is going.
Yeah. I had not seen this until now. I'm not sure why it didn't blip my radar.
But it just popped up today, or so, didn't it?
So that
we'd heard Monday. About these before,
And I like the way everything is on the back, but it's not like major backpack crap.
Yeah, it's not so. Like kibble. Hey, so another item in the remaster series, RM01 Cupola, a color test shot of not Chrome Dome, and he's a masterpiece scale Chrome Dome figure. It looks pretty nice, honestly.
It does.
It's boring, but that's Chrome Dome.
Now, I hope the head color is not right, because that head is not right.
That's
a test shot.
It's definitely a test shot.
Okay, so, like, the plastic colors look like they're near final, but it's missing all of its paint, so they're going to do more stuff to it.
Yeah.
Even at best, though, it's still going to be kind of boring.
You know what, though? I can honestly say, as much as a masterpiece fanatic that I am, I'm fine with the Chrome Dome that I got from Fans Project.
Yeah, I am too.
The code. I'm really not.
I don't need a Chrome Dome that this close to like matching the original toy in the G1 cartoon. Code is fine for me because like I'm really into the engineering it has.
Exactly.
You know, now that I have a couple of those Fans Project Headmasters, they don't really do a lot for me. I think
those are a case of like either the engineering sells you on them or nothing sells you on them.
Yeah, like with this one, you know, I like the look of it, and if the tech spec thing works, which it won't, but if it does, my mind will be blown. I will have to buy it.
Well, I like, to me, that's a beautiful figure, but I'm with Chris on the engineering for code. Code is different enough to be still be Chrome Dome, but not an exact copy of the G1 toy, which gives you that whole classics kind of feel to it.
Now, if Coppola has, if it proves to have some kind of innovative, interesting transformation, you know, that'll be a different thing. But
I keep wanting to say Ricola.
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 So I think one thing I don't necessarily like about the Fans Project toys is the way that the heads pop on and off. There's nothing satisfying about the tactile sensation.
You know what they need? They need like a little magnet so it has a snap down feel to it.
That would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like stupid stuff like that sells me on a toy.
And the thing with that too is if you put the magnets in the right place, the head just becomes like a stabilizer, doesn't have to like friction in.
You're saying something that I cast?
No, it's okay. Never mind.
Okay. So last news item. More Maki toys, gosh. Have I seen this? Axel, color photos of their not roof figure for Guardian. I like the Takaratomi version better.
Yeah.
And not by a small margin.
Somehow this just looks like a more elaborate version of the Legends figure to me.
It does. Yeah. I think that's because it's kind of lanky.
Yeah. And the torso just looks similar to me. Maybe that's just me, but
either way the relevance for this kind of went out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does nothing. Does nothing for me.
I debated not even putting this in the notes, but I figured we could get like 30 seconds out of. Well, nobody cares about this anymore.
Yep. Well, I hate to say it, but they're kind of out of the size class that I want combiners to be in now. I kind of want it to be in that
combiner war scale.
Not combiner war scale, but my third parties. I want it to be in that the one that's coming out recently. Gordon. The Warbitron or the Unique Toys one that's coming out that we only have three figures of so far.
Yeah.
Well, I will say though, of all the third party grooves that I've seen, I think I like that one the best for looking like groove.
How many third party grooves have you seen, Don?
There's the one for Guardia, there's the other one for the Fans Project version, and then I've seen three.
It's entirely possible. I have completely lost track of all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Well, speaking of which, we've got a bunch of more Protected Bot reviews up. I've gotten the text and photo versions of 3 out of 4 posted, and yesterday XV posted his video review of Hotspot, who looks great. We've got my review of Transformers vs. G.I. Joe number 7, and a retrospective on Devastator, the origins of the figure, of the character, of the various versions that have been done over the years, the works.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. Okay.
And Don and plugged
by the,
in.
By the buzzing of Don's computer, I think it's time for one last Amazon plug.
So Don can get a new plug.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Hey, somebody bought a TV this week. That was awesome.
Hey, enjoy your new TV.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Not that I know what people buy. I might get a report of the kind of stuff people buy, but
endless shilling as you watch your new TV.
Yes, watch us on it.
Yeah, so like the way the Amazon affiliate thing works is, yeah, we can see the stuff that gets bought through the link, but we will never know who bought what. So your anonymity is safe.
Yeah,
but if you want to buy something ridiculous and have us mention it on the show, go for it.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. Chris, you have to buy that home circumcision kit.
I've been thinking about it. I might wait until my birthday.
I'll buy that what was it? That bidet add-on kit.
Yes. Or you could buy the prostate exam trainer.
Oh my god. Oh God. Yeah.
Yes, that is a real thing.
I understand. I understand. They also have a 5-pound blob of synthetic body fat.
God. Hey Don, there's a bunch of stuff I want to buy. Can you like tweet out your credit card number so I can purchase some?
That was JD,
stuff?
Wasn't it? That was
yeah,
JD.
That was JD's thing. Was JD. Don just tweeted out his phone number.
Yeah. Hey, hey, Diecast. Can you read between the lines?
Way to go, Don. Okay, that'll do it for this week. Have Don is pissed off, and actually I think we'll probably have a mini cast where Don beats the hell out of Diecast. So.
that's gonna be one of our
we'll film
cast.
That on Don's birthday present
at yeah
so I got a GoPro I'll bring and we can film with that.
I think we need to brainstorm some crazy BotCon stuff because we need to have a
I was
fun.
Actually gonna bring that up when we weren't live streaming anymore.
Okay, very
good. And then liable for things.
Yes, very true. Okay, so we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Everybody take care.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?